You know, many times the narratives of the Bible are only taught in the Sunday school classes, but as we preach through the book of Acts, we have some wonderful narratives, and we find one this morning. If you would please take your copy of the scriptures and stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading Acts chapter 3, and we'll read the entire chapter. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is, called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who've spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We find in the book of Acts this pattern, a pattern of a sign followed by a sermon, or a miracle followed by a message. Do you remember at Pentecost there was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and immediately following, Peter steps forward. Well, it's a similar situation here. We have a miracle followed by a message, and a very simple outline for us to follow. The first 11 verses, we're going to talk about this literal miracle, this work that God did through Peter and John to this poor, lame beggar. This is a man who had to be carried toward the temple. He wasn't allowed to enter the temple. He was a lame man. He was restricted from entering the temple. And so he would come and his friends would bring him and place him at a gate called the Beautiful Gate. And year after year he waited. He probably saw Jesus when Jesus walked through on his way to the temple. He more than likely recognized Peter and John and the other disciples. He knew the people. That was his spot. It was a good spot. It's a great spot to beg right by the temple. You would think either people going in or people coming out would have a softened heart. And so this man was placed there day after day. And Peter and John sent rather conflicting messages to this beggar. Everyone knows that when you are approached by a beggar or you approach a beggar, if you make eye contact with them, what happens? They immediately look up and think, oh, this is great. They're going to give me some money. This is a connection here. I'll never forget outside of the Forbidden City in Beijing as we were exiting, and this little boy wheeled himself up on a skateboard because he had no legs. The thought of looking at him and catching the attention of his eye immediately would cause you to think, oh, I must do something. And Peter and John, I think, confused this beggar for a moment because they looked at him and they said, look at us. Immediately the beggar began to hope. This lame beggar began to think, they're going to give me something. And then Peter tells him some very discouraging news. He says, I don't have any money. Look at me. I don't have any money. So the beggar probably was hopeful and then discouraged. You know, imagine that you forgot your wallet or your purse today and you're leaving church and you were approached by a beggar and they came to you and said, could you give us something? And you might say, well, I don't have anything. Is that true? Is all you have to give money? Can't we give the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what they did. This guy was on a roller coaster, this emotional roller coaster. They looked at me. They don't have any money. What I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand and walk. Could you imagine the excitement of that man? What a joy. I'll never forget one Wednesday evening, Henry Morgan and I were serving communion at our Vespers service. And as we were serving communion, Henry was taking the bread and I was taking the cup. And we got to the last wave of people, maybe 12 to 15 people who had come forward to receive. And Henry and I looked at each other because I only had about 5 cups left. And that has never happened before when we're serving the Lord's table. We just had this overwhelming response of people who came to the Vesper service. And Henry had enough bread, but I did not have enough. And so I simply said a little prayer. Lord, you're going to have to help us. And do you know what? We served everyone the cup that night. Now that's a little secret that Henry and I have had for years. But I want you to know, it was electric that night for us as we realized God did a miracle. It was amazing to us. And this is the miracle that God did by healing this lame beggar. I want you to notice that Peter immediately turns this into an opportunity to preach. Possibly Peter was a Baptist. I want you to notice that the message that Peter gives is a strong message. Look at verse 11. He takes the nail of their sin and he drives it through their head into their heart. Do you know, the preaching of God's word should bring about a realization of our sin. And the moment we have this realization of our sin, what happens to our heart? The Holy Spirit beckons us to our Savior. Watch how Peter does this as he preaches. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon, astounded. Of course they're astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us? As though by our own power and piety we've made him walk." Listen to how he describes God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. You see, he's preaching to these Jews around him. The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. Now, as I read through, I want you to notice the names of Jesus, and I want you to notice the sins of the people. Because Peter juxtapositions the beauty of Jesus against the sins of the people. The text is pregnant with this thought. Glorified his servant Jesus. Well, this glorified servant Jesus, none other than the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. These people immediately connected with, oh, this servant from God. Listen to what Peter says, "Whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." Here's Pilate, a civil official, somebody who's just trying to make peace, trying to save his own neck. And you turned him over to Pilate. You, the religious people. And then not only that, guess what? Pilate was ready to release him. Pilate found him innocent and said, "I'm going to release him." And you, look what it says. Pilate decided to release him. You delivered over and denied him. Look at verse 14. But you, this use of the second person is very powerful. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One. You hear that beautiful name of Jesus? The Holy and Righteous One. What did they do? They denied this Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. So this Holy and Righteous One, who you would think would be the epitome of a citizen you would want to roam your streets, you trade in the Holy and Righteous One for a murderer. You would rather have a murderer loose roaming your streets than the Holy and Righteous One. You. And now listen to verse 15. This is possibly the most contradictory phrase you'll see in your entire life. And you killed the author of life. You killed the author of life. If any living creature has life, it's from the author of life, Jesus Christ. Another Greek word for this word, or another translation of this word author, is the word captain. He's the captain of all life. And it says, you killed him. You killed the author, the captain of life. And then listen to this little phrase, whom God raised from the dead. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. Do you feel the weight? Do you feel the weight of their sin upon them? But then Peter, in his kindness, he points them to the beautiful gate. He points them to the beautiful gate. And the hinges of the beautiful gate are faith and repentance. The twin graces found in our conversion. Look at verse 16. And his name, by faith, there it is, faith in his name has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health. So the first of the twin graces of a conversion, we have faith. But then I want you to notice he speaks of the second hinge of the beautiful gate. Verse 19, repent therefore and turn again. Look at verse 26. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This word repent means flee. Flee. Run to get away. You see, conversion is, first of all, this work of the Holy Spirit where we see the wickedness of our life, of our heart, and of our active sins, and we turn away from that. And then by faith, we trust in Christ's righteousness. So conversion is just what Peter says. You flee from your sin, and you embrace by faith your Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't just leave them there. I want you to notice how tenderly Peter beckons them to pass through this gate. This gate, this beautiful gate. You know, I'll never forget a story I heard about a friend of mine who was a lawyer. When she was starting out her law career, she had a difficult case she had to work with the defendant. It seems that an old horse had wandered off the property down in Burnett County and had wandered through a gate out into the highway and was struck and killed. And some lawyers got involved to establish the value of this old barn horse. And as it turned out, they had placed a higher value on this horse than the defendant thought the horse was worth. And so the defense attorney began to recount the facts and said, well, you purchased this old rundown nag for $200. And then it passed through the gate and went out into the street and was struck and killed. That must have been a magic gate. It turned a $200 nag into Secretariat. You know, I don't have a magic gate for you, but I have a gate. Peter has a gate for us. He has a beautiful gate. And the gate is hinged with faith and repentance. And he beckons you through the gate by telling you of the benefits of this gate. Return your eyes to the text. Look at verse 17. Oh, and now, brothers. Do you see how tenderly he refers to them? He says, brothers. He doesn't say, you fools. He doesn't say, you murderers. He says, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But God, what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again. Now listen to the benefits, that your sins may be blotted out. You see, conversion is this act where the Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ to us, and he blots out our sins. It's the same Greek word used in Revelation 21:4 that says, in heaven, he'll wipe away every tear. He'll wipe away your sins. And I promise you, when Christ wipes away your sins and you recognize it, he wipes away your tears. But he doesn't stop there. He has another benefit. That your sins may be blotted out or wiped away. Look at verse 20. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Let that phrase sink in. It's a phrase that was used in 1 Samuel 16. And when Saul was overcome, David would come and play music for him. And it says that he was relieved and he had refreshment. This sense of peace. And it says in the presence of the Lord. The only way you're going to have peace in the presence of the Lord is if you pass through the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate of faith and repentance. For you see, not only is there a beautiful gate on earth, there's a beautiful gate in heaven. There are 12 gates in the new city in heaven. Revelation 21. And it speaks of each gate. This is the Apostle John. This is Peter's friend in this whole adventure. And John is seeing this revelation from God, and he sees these gates, and each gate is a pearl. And so in your sanctified mind, I want you to see this big pearl and a gate that's hinged with faith and repentance. And behind the gate, there's no temple. verses 21 and 22 of Revelation 21. There's no temple because God and the Lamb are the temple. You see, if you look through this gate of repentance, you'll see that God is on the other side. And if you are under the sound of my voice this morning and the preaching of this text, God's face is turned towards you this morning. He's gazing through the gate to you, beckoning you. Your sins will be blotted out. You'll have times of refreshment. A few years ago, I took a young boy and his daddy. We took a little overnight together. And while we were on our way, it turned out that the father had to work late at the office. So I took his son. He's about an 8-year-old boy. And I said, I'll take him. You just catch up with us later in the evening. Well, his bedtime came, and I hadn't put him to bed yet. We were busy fishing. That can wait. We didn't get him cleaned up for bed. My theory is you're not much of a boy if you can't sleep yourself clean. So we took some time, and I said, okay, Billy, it's time to go to bed now. And so he hopped right into bed. And I said, Billy, let's read the Bible together, and then let's say our prayers. And then you go hop in your bed, and I'll stay here and read a little while until you fall asleep. And I'm sure your dad's going to be here any minute. And so we read our Bible and we said our prayers, and Billy hopped over in his bed, and I was reading for a while. And after a few minutes, Billy said, Pastor Tim, are you looking at me? And I said, well, Billy, no, I'm reading. And he goes, would you watch me? Would you watch me to make sure I'm okay? And so I said, Billy, I'll do that. And I closed my Bible and watched him for a little while. And I started to get tired, so I went ahead and turned the light off. And Billy said, Pastor Tim, is your face turned toward me? I said, yes, Billy. My face is turned toward you. And he fell right to sleep. Child of God, God's face is turned toward you this morning. He's looking through the gate, the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate of faith and repentance. And he sees you. And he beckons you. I blot out your sins. I'll give you times of refreshment. In fact, if you're lame, he'll make you dance in the temple. A lot of you know we have a Monday morning study for men. Quite a few men have been coming, and we're studying the life of David. And what I try to do is a threefold approach. We talk about the content of David's life. And then we frame up David's life in redemptive history. And then in the midst of all that, I'm teaching the men how to study the Bible, how to make observations. And about at the end of our meeting last Monday morning, I said, I need some help on Acts chapter 3. Would some of you men help me? And about 30 of the men sent me detailed documents on Acts chapter 3. And one of the men, a young man, said, when I read Acts chapter 3, I wept because I'm that lame beggar. I'm that lame beggar that God found. And he found me and he converted me. I was asking him to make me comfortable. Oh God, make me comfortable. I had my sight set too low. God didn't make me comfortable. He made me glorious in Christ. And he ended his email to me by saying, God found me as a lame beggar. And now I dance in the temple. Do you imagine what a special day that was for that lame beggar who was prohibited from the temple? And he walked in with Peter and John and he danced in the temple. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, lift your eyes toward heaven, for there is seated the King King Jesus. And he's looking through the gate of faith and repentance, the beautiful gate. His face is turned toward you. Worship him. Worship him as your king. Amen.